good and share what we have with others, for these sacrifices also please God. It doesn't feel like a sacrifice to me to praise God, because I think of a sacrifice as completely losing something. Like a gecko will sacrifice its tail to escape a predator, right? Has anyone ever seen that? Pretty extreme. That means no more tail. They grow them back, I think, but their tail is gone. It feels more like a joy to me to praise God, not a sacrifice. But in this word, in this verse, the word sacrifice is an act of giving. Giving to another. It sometimes takes an effort on our part to praise God, especially when we are in a time of waiting on the Lord in difficult circumstances. So I can see that sometimes might feel more of like a sacrifice. And it takes an effort to share our resources with others. It pleases, according to this verse, it pleases God when we do these things. And it's not because He is insecure and needs to hear our praise. We are drawn closer into communion with God when we remind ourselves of the blessings that we receive when we share those, and when we share those blessings with others. So, that's praise, and I want to explore the word worship next. This, I don't have a slide for this next fill in the blank, so you're not at any disadvantage. You just have to listen. The biblical word for worship means to turn toward with adoration and reliance. So write that down. There should be a line where it says worship equals turn toward. And adoration means to regard with love and respect. So when we come to church, we are making a conscious effort to turn toward. But the church building is not the only place where we worship. Do we have any fans of The Chosen in the house? Season 4 is scheduled for release next month. But in season 1, there is a dramatization of the exchange between Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. This is a big story. But for tonight, I want to focus on one small part. And that is found in John 4, verses 20 and 21. The Samaritan woman speaking, "Sir, our fathers worshipped here on this mountain, but your people say that Jerusalem is the only place for all to worship. Which is it?" Jesus speaking, "Dear woman, I tell you that neither is so. Believe this, a new day is coming. In fact, it's already here, when the importance will not be placed on the time and place of worship, but on the truthful hearts of worshipers." So Jesus said there's no restrictions as to the time and the place. Worship is anywhere, anytime, turning toward in truth. In other words, with authenticity. Not faking it. Not putting on a show. But authentic worship with adoration and reliance. I thought it was interesting that Uncle Bill talked about God saying, "Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Do you trust me?" And he and I do not collaborate. His message, his communion devotion actually goes along with my message very well. Because what a coincidence. Reliance is my word tonight, which is the same as trust. So, the Greek word for worship used here is a compound word where part of the meaning is like the act of a dog licking its master's hand. That's how a dog shows adoration and reliance. And I'll come back to that in a minute. A few weeks ago, I gave my testimony at New Heritage Fellowship on a Sunday morning. And I told them about a dream I had one night just over 17 years ago. I had just hit bottom, and I was in a pit of absolute stunned, shocked despair. Has anyone ever been there? The next day was to be the funeral of the person I had invested everything in, and I was devastated. In the dream, God asked me if I was going to worship Him or stay on the tightrope I made for myself. I was shocked. I thought God made the tightrope, not me. And my white knuckle balancing, y'all can turn around and look at the tightrope. My white knuckle balancing was the worship. I answered God in my dream. I said, I've worshiped you my whole life. And I said it in just that tone. God said, will you get off your tightrope and rely on me? So that gave me pause. I thought about that for a second in my dream. And I said, I'll worship you. I didn't really know what that meant, and that God seemed to be using worship and reliance interchangeably. I said, I choose worship. Shortly after that, I started working the 12 steps because I didn't know what else to do. And I came to believe that worship is closely tied to the first three steps of 12-step recovery. Number one, I can't. Number two, God can. Number three, I'm going to turn toward in reliance. When I'm powerless, as I learned, I was powerless over a lot of things. Well, that's nice, Aunt Laurie, Andrew might be saying. He probably is.
He was saying, I heard.
Uh-huh. But I'm not going to live life by some dream you had one night after eating Korean barbecue. Well, hold on. Hold on, Andrew. Not all dreams are the result of eating spicy food. Some dreams might be spiritual. Look at Acts 2:17. Hear what God says. In the last days, I will offer my spirit to humanity as a libation. Not the kind of libation y'all are thinking about. Your children will boldly speak the word of the Lord. Young warriors will see visions, and your elders will dream dreams. So I think I qualify as an elder, even 17 years ago when I had the dream. But my dream might not mean anything to you, but it is a legitimate part of my experience, strength, and hope. So worship is different from praise, because it's fine for me to praise Logan for the sermon he preached and praise Christina for the message she brought in December and the cake she bakes, and praise Umberto for his communion devotion that he gave and his expertise in the sound system, but it is not okay for me to worship them. The special thing about worship is it is meant for our heavenly Creator alone. When Jesus was tempted in the desert, you probably remember this story, Satan offered Jesus all sorts of benefits if he would just worship him. Satan wanted Jesus to turn toward him in adoration. Matthew 4:10, Jesus said, "Beat it, Satan." And he backed his rebuke with a quotation from Deuteronomy. "Worship the Lord your God and only him. Serve him with absolute single-heartedness." So worship is for Almighty Sovereign Creator. We turn toward God in utter reliance on His character and power. And this is a fill-in-the-blank on where it says character of God equals omnipotent love. That is all-powerful love. That is the character of God. And human beings, I believe, are going to worship something or someone. I will either worship God, or I will worship my own ego, or I will worship other people. And you may claim you don't worship anyone, which makes me think you probably worship yourself.
Amen.
Pursuing wealth, power, superiority is the worship of my own ego. I make an idol out of myself. If my ego has been broken by abuse, I might turn toward other people, making an idol out of them with single-heartedness, hoping to please them enough that they will give me a reason to live. This could also be called codependency. Here we go. How in the world would I turn the topic of praise and worship into a lesson on codependency?
Why would you not?
Yeah. Shay is not surprised. Shay is not surprised. And it's not that difficult for me, because misuse of worship is essentially the foundation of codependent relationships. There's a simple illustration in this next slide. You have permission to turn around and look at it. This is an illustration of what a codependent enmeshment between a dominating codependent and a compliant codependent looks like. The person who demands to be idolized says, "I don't feel okay unless you idolize me. You must prove you love me over and over by obedience and serving my needs." And the idolizer says, "I don't feel okay or safe or have a reason to live unless I idolize you, because you complete me. I will prove I love you until it kills me." Now, sometimes two controlling codependents get together, and that is crash bang theater. Or two compliant codependents will get together, and it's very quiet and boring. But when this controller with compliant gets together, it seems like it's a match made in heaven. But no. Because giving another person that role is unsustainable. Worshiping another person, or expecting to be worshiped, will sooner or later become toxic. "Well, Aunt Laurie, I don't want to be worshiped. I just want everyone to do what I say." Okay. Sometimes codependency is subtle. Sometimes it is imposing. Factored into any codependent relationship is the worship of someone other than God. Codependency is being over-dependent on another person. And this isn't just in romantic relationships. It can be parent-child. It can be friend-to-friend. It can be siblings, co-workers, sponsor-sponsee, politician, constituent. Have you ever heard of hero worship? Let's not worship our politicians.
Amen.
Codependency is a toxic counterfeit to a healthy interdependent relationship between people. So what does a healthy human-to-human relationship look like if it's not about one winning with their will over the other person? In codependency recovery, I have learned that our self-esteem comes from solving our own problems and learning from our own painful consequences instead of being rescued. We operate from a position of choice and generosity, letting go of hyper-responsibility for the feelings of others. Our God-given values are at the core of our being, and they are sacred. We will not violate them to maintain a connection with others. And I did that. I violated my core values to stay connected. We value the opinions and preferences of others, but not at the expense of our own. If there is a conflict of opinion or preference, we will work for a respectful compromise without violating either of us. Everyone keeps their dignity. We give motivated by love, not out of fear or coercive manipulation. And we can also receive gifts, secure in the knowledge that our relationships are mutually equal. The point is, we don't lick the hands of other people. I mentioned earlier that the word worship in the New Testament is a compound word where one of the root words in Greek implies a dog licking its master's hand. If you're a dog person, that image is probably warms your heart. But I'm not a dog person. I think dogs are super gross. So this image does not warm my heart. But I do admire a well-trained dog, a dog that knows he isn't the master, and he doesn't try to be. He's free to be fully a dog, an excellent dog, staying in his lane, enjoying a dog's life. A dog like that always keeps at least one eye and one ear on the master, turned toward the master. That's a good dog, a confident dog, a noble dog. So as for me, in everything I do, whether I'm in church, at the grocery store, driving in traffic, dealing with my job, paying my taxes, whatever and wherever, I worship when I keep at least one eye and one ear turned toward my master in adoration and trust, reliance. Otherwise, I'm like an untrained dog trying to be master or obsessively looking for a master. A dog that's liable to bite the hand that feeds it. A stubborn, rogue, going potty in the master's house. Barking at the wind, confused, dissatisfied, neurotic, out of my lane. So when I was living life on the tightrope, I was trying to follow God's rules so I could go to heaven, but I did not love him with all my heart. I was not turned toward him. I thought he was behind me somewhere, and I was trying to just stay out of his off his radar. I did not love him with all my heart, was not relying on him, and I kept looking for a person to do what only a relationship with God can do. I was afraid to completely turn toward because I thought he might have even more burdens for me, like send me to a foreign country to be a missionary. In my 12-step recovery journey, I came to realize that what Jesus requires is light and easy. It's not a tightrope of burdens. So what does he require? Micah 6:8 makes it simple. It says, he has told you, humanity, what is good. Now some of this is your last fill in the blank. He has told you what Adonai is seeking from you, only to practice justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. In other words, be fair to others, be kind to others, and live in humble reliance turned toward God. And with God's help, I can worship like that. Everybody look in your bulletin on the left-hand side at the bottom. You know what to do. Jesus is Lord. To be the church for the broken and the powerless. To be bold about the name of Jesus. to be grateful for the blessings and the struggles. Thy will be done. And thank you for letting me share.
Yeah.